A&J Show, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. Don't forget Cardinals Blue Jays live from St. Louis, loud and clear here, 6:20 pregame, 7:05 first pitch on the new home of Cardinals baseball, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. But we've been talking a lot of NBA draft specifically. It's probably the last time we're going to talk about the NBA.
Probably for a while.
In a good sense for a while, because the lockout is coming. God, another lockout. Another lockout.
And I saw today a headline that the NFL, they are not imminent. A deal was not imminent. And I'm like, give me a break. Can we just get some good news already with that?
Yeah, we don't. That's why we've kind of deferred talking about it. I know you talked to Brad Evans about it a little bit. But
It'll happen, but it's just annoying. Yeah.
So we're talking NBA draft. We're bringing in the Chicago perspective with Adam Harris from 670 Score. He does the overnight show with Les Grobstein doing updates and jumps on with Les talking about the Bulls, the Bears, the White Sox, Cubs and
Chicago Fire.
Yeah, definitely a lot of Chicago Fire on the show, right, Adam?
Les enjoys talking about the Chicago Rush, but I need to tell him not to do that.
How much can you talk about the Rush?
Yeah, indoor football.
I can't talk any about the Rush, and I'm proud to say I can't talk any about the Rush.
Doesn't Mike Ditka have a ownership stake with that team or something?
Or something. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he has involvement with it.
He does. He's involved with it a little bit. It helps them, I guess, with promotion, I guess. I don't know.
He's good at that.
And that covers our Arena Football League talk on the T&J show.
Yes,
well, Adam, NBA draft last night, we're going to get to the Bulls, but first of all, I know you're U of I grad. I got to get your opinion. Dimitri McKamey, Jeremy Richmond, undrafted. What do you think?
I think, starting off, Jeremy Richmond, what are you doing? He must have listened to the wrong people. And I think, you know, signing an agent, and that agent's like, you're going to get drafted probably. And imagine what that must feel like sitting there, you know, at home going, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy. I'm going to get drafted. And you sit there for the first round and you're like, okay, that's fine. And then like, you know, picks go by in the second round. And now there's like two or three picks left in the second round. And you're like just wishing and hoping that your name just gets called, knowing that it's not going to. That's got to be a crappy feeling. And he went through it, and he made a wrong decision, and he'll have to live with that. Dimitri McKamey, it's got to do with his attitude, because I think his talent is there to play in the NBA, and I think he could be a scoring point guard, but a good backup one at least. And it's interesting that he didn't get drafted, I think, but you know, maybe he'll grab a camp look or a free agent look, but you know what, that's not even going to happen, because there's probably not going to be an NBA.
Adam, as far as Jeremy Richmond goes, we're going to talk about this more on the show today, but I get the feeling that there is a faction of the Illinois Illini Nation, if you will, that took a little bit of glee in the fact that he wasn't drafted last night. What are your thoughts on that, and is there any bit of that that's okay to be happy that he didn't get drafted?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you on that. I think the Illini fans were definitely bitter at what he did and happy that he didn't get drafted. I mean, this is not going to be too cool with the people that are listening right now, but the feeling is that Illini fans are just generally bitter in a general sense because they don't win that much. And so something like that happens, and they like to blame it on that, which is not the total reason, but definitely there's a bitterness towards Jeremy Richmond and hoping that he did not make the draft. And I guess I don't agree with it, but it's, you know, Richmond was an idiot, basically.
Yeah, no, I can't disagree.
Talking with Adam Harris from 670 The Score in Chicago. He talks a lot of Bulls. He talks with Les Grobstein on the overnight show. That's midnight to 5, right, Adam?
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I got a question for you, Jeremy. Are you still allowed to watch sports? You just got hitched.
You know, I knew he was going to bring
Vince
it.
Is never going to.
I knew
Jeremy
he was going to bring it, but she actually put in her vows, Adam. This is the kind of girl that I married. That she would allow me, like she would allow me at times where I can just sit there and watch sports. So I'm good.
Wow.
I'm clear.
Well, the best part about our jobs is you can actually go home and be like, hey, you want me to pay the bills?
Right.
Let me watch this game.
Right. You're doing your job. I'm doing research for my job. That's all I'm doing, honey.
Mm-hmm. You have to watch the game. Like seriously, it's not even a joke. You have to watch it.
Well, that's like last night. We got home from the airport. She wanted to drive back down from Champaign. We were up in O'Hare. And I said, hey, I really need to watch the NBA draft.
So did he stay at a hotel last night? Or you
no,
just
parents' house.
Gotcha, okay.
The Hotel Warner up in Manhattan.
Oh, nice.
but Adam, Jimmy Butler, the Bulls select with a 30th pick, a defensive specialist that we think. And then Nikola Mirotic, I think I'm saying that right, the 23rd, they traded up for the 23rd pick, traded for the rights to him. Probably not going to see him for 4 years, but what's the reaction in Chicago to the Bulls draft?
I think it's a smart move, and the reaction up here has been generally the same. We'll start with the Butler pick. Doesn't that just seem like kind of like a typical John Paxson-type nudge of a pick, where you pick a guy that'll fit with the program, he works hard, plays good defense, he'll definitely fit with Tibbs, but it kind of just, if you think about his past draft statuses, he likes to pick winners in college programs that have gone all 4 years, or 3 years at least, and that have graduated, and that's the typical John Paxson pick, and I'm sure he'll fit in. And, you know, as far as Mirotić goes, it's a very smart move, and they're going to keep him off their books. It's a very low risk, high reward, especially for where they were drafting in the draft. In the later round, late in the first round, all those guys were the same, and it was nice that the Bulls didn't draft a shooting guard and say that's going to solve our problem.
Right.
Yeah.
What they did, you know what I'm saying? Like, they could have done that, and they could have been like, see, we tried. But now what they're saying is we realized there was no one in this draft that was going to put us over the edge. So what we're going to do is we're going to add another guy to play a great team defense, and we're going to add a guy that could be a very nice cash-in later on down the road. You've seen that the Spurs many times. But we don't want anybody on our books because we need someone that can help us now that's not in the draft. And it's nice that they showed us as fans that we're not going to pretend like the draft was going to help us.
So, Adam, for Jimmy Butler, does he make any of the upcoming free agents for the Bulls expendable?
Oh, you know, I'm not totally sure. I'm trying to think about...
Well, Keith Bogans exactly. has got an option. And well, he just seems like Keith Bogans. That's what this pick seems like.
That's the very first thing that came to my mind was him. And it seems like the exact same type of player. I mean, Butler averaged like 15 last year at Marquette, and he's just known for his defense and hard work and how he just wants to be a role player. He even said yesterday right away, hey, I want to guard LeBron James, Dwayne Wade type players. And you know, that's great, and I hope he really tries to do that. But the first name that came to my head was Bogans, and I really thought about that because last year I was just like, yeah, I'm okay with Bogans. But now that I really think about it, what did he do? You know, he started and he played good defense, hit 2 threes a game. But you know how many players out there that can do that are even taller than he is and probably can add a little bit more on the offensive end? I think that would be the name that would make it expendable.
Talking with Adam Harris from 670 The Score, does the overnight show from midnight to 5 on 670. You can get that down here in Champaign. It's amazing what that satellite does, or what that tower does for
nighttime.
You guys.
Oh, yeah. It's nighttime, man.
Yeah,
clears the air. It's great.
Well, Nikola Mirotic, one of several Europeans taken last night. We knew this was a weak draft. But the Europeans, it just seemed like it takes away from the people that watch college basketball. And there's a lot of college basketball fans around here, of course, Adam. And they watch this draft, and they want to see the Big Ten guys going. But you see Dimitri McKamey overpass for a guy in the NBDL, the developmental league, that scored 1 point a game in the NBDL. And you just feel like, why isn't Dimitri McKamey getting taken there? Was your draft experience last night, what was it like for you?
I was really hoping you'd ask me. It was boring. It was straight up just boring. And what I think's hilarious about it is ESPN, watching them try and cover this, and really not even looking prepared, because according to them, every one of those European guys are going to be a great player because right. they had nothing to say about him because they didn't know anything about him. So I'm watching this, and I'm like, oh, my God, these are some really good players. You see 3 or 4 highlights, nice dishes. They're making every shot, and they're like, and you notice every single time they talked about him, this is what they said, every single one of them. It's, you know, he's got a good wingspan, and he can really light it up on the offensive board or on the offensive side. He can really light it up from three-point land. He's just got to work on his defense a little bit. Like, every one of them, that's what it was, because they don't know. And that irritated me so much last night, because you're watching these guys that are supposed experts covering the draft. They do not know. And it's hilarious to me. Now, they can go on and on about all the players in college, But straight up, they don't know anything about these international guys, and they.
I think we've just lost Adam, but I get his point. What he's saying is, you know, a guy like Bismack Biyombo, which awesome name, by the way.
Almost as good as Dwayne.
He's not 18 years old. Did you see his face?
He looks 20.
Of course, Greg Oden.
Do you think he looks younger or older?
Oh, he looks like he's 28 years old.
Could be.
Anyway, Bismack Biyombo, a kid. Yeah, the wingspan. It's all about the wingspan and things like that. But, I mean, how much can they know? How much of the GMs of these teams actually know about these guys?
Very little. And I think Adam's point about the commentary by the ESPN guys, the thing is, it's the same on the NFL draft, and I'm sure on the MLB network, if anyone actually watched the Major League Baseball draft, it'd be the same thing. So that's an argument I want to make a little bit later on in the show, is that a lot of the disappointment, including myself, just bored to death with this draft last night, but almost thinking, yeah, you know, we're disappointed certain guys didn't get drafted, but it's just a draft. Mm-hmm. And the idea that we need it for our entertainment value and that we can't like the NBA as much because their draft isn't that good, I think is kind of silly.
Yeah, well, I got some thoughts on Dimitri McKamey. Also, how was your draft experience last night? Did you watch it? Did you care? What'd you think of the Illini guys going undrafted? Dimitri McKamey, Jeremy Richmond, 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. It's a Tay and Jay show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.
Tay and Jay show, 93.5, 95.3. The new Connect FM. We're going to bring back on Adam Harris. Called us back. Good of him to do that. But keep going with your point, Adam. You're talking about how this NBA draft just really kind of bored you with all these European players going.
Yeah, it bored me so much. I was just sick of watching how ESPN tried to cover it, too, and they pretended like they knew everything about these international players. You know, like I said, every one of them is supposedly this great player. You know, you didn't see or hear one bad thing about them. The only thing was, oh, you know, they need to work on their defense a little bit. You know, you could basically do a bit on every single one of these players. Like, you could throw a name to me right now, and I'll just scout him, you know? Like, give me any name, and I'll just be like, you know what? He's got a great wingspan, plays you know, decent defense, but he works really hard. He can light it up from the outside, absolutely. And, you know, you put him down low a little bit, he'll get a few boards for you, but he just needs to bear down on defense. And that's basically what they said the whole time, which is funny to me because that's what made the draft boring. No one knew anybody.
Right. And the problem was, you know, Jared Solinger, Harrison Barnes, guys we knew that actually probably would have been top five picks weren't in this thing. But you get back to the coverage, ESPN's almost outdone now because you have Twitter where everybody's breaking this news, mm-hmm. showing these trades, and now it seems like they're getting beat to the punch, and you know everything before ESPN actually airs it. So if you're following on Twitter, even if you're just following online on CBS Sports or Yahoo or something, it seems like the coverage is just getting so beat.
Yeah, but to Adam's point, I think that, and Adam, tell me if this is you agree with this or not, but I think a lot of the problem, honestly, is I kept thinking last night, man, you know, it'd be great if we had TNT's group on here.
Oh my God! I totally agree. That's the first thing I said when I turned it on.
Because what was very frustrating, I think, with a lot of the coverage last night, and it's more just the basketball crew on ESPN. I think they got some good football guys, but the basketball crew, especially, at least if you would have had, you know, Charles Barkley on there, he would have called out some of these picks, like, who? Mm-hmm. This guy looks terrible, like, you know,
right.
or terrible, whichever.
That's exactly right. That's what it is, because I wanted some honesty from him. I really wanted one of them to say, I don't know anything about him. That's fine. That is okay. Don't give me this BS answer that you think this guy's great, but he needs to improve on defense or transition game or whatever. Like, come on. Like, that's not what it was, and I didn't learn anything from it. Now I go back and I read stuff, and now I understand a little bit more about these players. But really, it's tough to scout players like this, and that's why these NBA teams are, I think that's why they took a lot of flyers on them, because these European guys are flyers, and, you know, a lot of them went early because this type of draft was a, you know, low risk and a high reward type. You don't want to grab some guy if you have one pick in the first round that's never going to help you, really.
Adam Harris from 670 The Score in Chicago. You can hear him from midnight to 5 every weekday, right, Adam?
Yeah, every weekday. So, like, Sunday at midnight is counting as Monday morning. So,
what time do you sleep?
See, it's. I like that people think it's like the worst thing ever, but it's actually quite awesome. I get to bed at like 7:30, 8 o'clock, and I wake up at 3 o'clock, and you guys are all at work, and I have my day, and then people get home from work, and I hang out. They go to bed, and I go to work. It's not a big deal.
Not bad, yeah.
Not a bad life there, Adam. Well, you're talking sports just like we are. We always like talking with you. So, Adam, thanks so much, and we'll check back with you in about a week here.
Yeah, call me after the NBA season starts. Whenever you guys
find. Might be a while. That's Adam Harris from 670 Score. Thanks, man.
Thanks, Adam.
Yeah, guys, thank you.
Well, we're going to take your calls as well about the Illinois players not being drafted. 217-359-2255. It's a Tay and Jay show. I come home from Mexico
to this.
65 degrees and cloudy. Come on, Illinois.
Temperatures here in central Illinois.
You gotta love it.
That's what happens in Illinois. Well, it might be cloudy because, well, Dimitri McKamey and Jeremy Richmond aren't feeling too good.
I don't know if Illinois fans are feeling glum.
Come on. Really?
I don't think they're feeling glum. Not happy, but
I guess
not
we'll
glum.
Get into that. This hour of the Tay and Jay Show, I'm Jeremy Warner. He's Mike Carpenter filling in for Juan. Tay's up in Plainfield, Illinois, watching his son play.
Also known as Chicago.
Yeah, I guess that's what Alon calls Chicago. We're bringing on Christopher Habis from NBADraftInsider.com. And Christopher, I know you talked that Jeremy Richmond could be a guy that a couple months ago was in the first round, doesn't get drafted. Are you surprised that Jeremy Richmond doesn't get drafted?
Yes and no. About a month ago on talent, he was a first-round pick and could very easily have gone, but in a month, a lot of things happen. I've talked to agents here and there, talked to players here and there, and it just seemed like maturity really wasn't a priority for Richmond. I don't want to speculate or slander a name, but I think that's really what NBA teams came down to when they were evaluating Jeremy Richmond was talent-wise, he was one of the most athletic and most potential players in this entire draft. The issue came down to just personal choices, came down to his maturity, and came down to do they want to take a risk on a player like that, and as we found out, 66 in, they didn't want to take a risk.
So is it safe to say that in the interview process, he didn't win them over? Because he knew, he said he had to win people over because of what happened at Illinois. Can we say that he just didn't win people over to get drafted?
Yeah, I don't think he won people over, and I think the rumors, the speculation, and I guess the facts of the matter as well that came out were just enough. They were enough to make it to where he wasn't a viable option for teams. And, I mean, that doesn't mean he's not going to be in the NBA, and it doesn't mean that he couldn't get on a team going forward, but you know, I guess that they didn't feel that the 30 teams in the league, that 50 picks in, that he was worth one of those picks just with everything that was going on. And it workout-wise, he didn't do a ton of workouts, you know, as many as some of the other prospects would have done. It just feels like overall throughout the process, he wasn't advised correctly or he didn't take proper advice because it just seems like he didn't take the proper route to try and get into the NBA.
Christopher, looking at this draft and just reading over these names again, we knew coming in it was going to be a weaker draft, and last night confirmed that. But apart from Kyrie Irving and Derek Williams, who many think will be impact players, are there any other names in this first round that you see being an immediate impact to their team and potentially, you know, a high ceiling where maybe one day they'll be an all-star type player?
Ooh, so if we're going to catch all-star, Well, coming into the draft, I told people proper expectations and you'll enjoy this draft. And if you have the proper expectations, you've been like, wow, a lot of teams really improved themselves, added role players or added players that are going to contribute at a decent level. I think there's a lot of top eight rotational guys in this draft. But if you want to attach the name All-Star and say there's a possibility, in the first round, I like Tobias Harris to the Bucks. I think he's a guy who can come off the bench. He's kind of young, obviously, youngest player in the draft. But I think he can come off the bench, run the offense from the high post. And he's one of those players that has a lot of potential and upside. And another one would be Marshawn Brooks, who went to the Nets from the Celtics in that trade. And I really think Marshawn Brooks has the ability to be a Jamal Crawford, be a Jordan Crawford, be that instant offense guy. And in New Jersey, they can use as many people to help create points as possible because Deron Williams is the only one that can do it right now.
Talking with Christopher Habis from NBADraftInsider.com. Look on his site throughout the year for NBA draft information. Two of the bigger names in college basketball last year, Kemba Walker, Jimmer Fredette, go 9-10. Now, I know those guys, both under 6'2", their scores are maybe the Ben Gordon mold, but Ben Gordon was a top three pick. Why were these guys pushed aside for Enes Kanter, Jonas, I can't even say his name, Jan Veasley, and Bismack Biyombo, some kids that have a lot of question marks because they're coming from Europe?
Well, I think this year's European class is a little bit more polished than the ones that you would attach that thing to, the question marks. I think everyone knows what Jan Veselý can be. He's an athlete. He's as you heard at the draft, he said that out in Europe, they call Blake Griffin the Jan Vaseli of America. So we know who he is. Valanciunas is going to be a guy who is going to be a very quality player, a double-double kind of a guy with a ceiling to be even better than that. He could be a 20-10 guy, but really you look at him as maybe a high-energy Biombo. We know he can defend with the other guys that got drafted in the first round. You're not really sure what they're going to bring. I mean, everyone in this draft had one intangible skill but didn't have enough to bring that superstar quality. So teams evaluated, and at the end of the day, I think the bigger prospects as far as height and size were the ones that were more valued. That's why you saw guys like Brandon Knight fall to 8 when he could have gone 3. You saw Kemba Walker fall down to 9 when he could have gone as high as 5. I just think size was a little bit more the emphasis with teams in this draft, and that's probably the reason why you saw some of the guards slip.
One of the first questions, you know, as fans have after any draft is winners and losers. In your opinion, which teams or which team made out the best last night, and which team just left you shaking your head wondering what they were even doing?
I really like this is kind of a cop-out, liking what the Cavs did, of course, because they had the number one pick, but I like what the Cavs did, especially at number 4, getting Tristan Thompson. A lot of people are going to go, you know, why is that such a big deal? Why is he good? They reached for him. I don't think they reached for him. I think that Tristan Thompson's a guy that if he fell to 8, he would have been a steal. If he got picked up at 4, I think that's more approximate to his talent. I really like his game overall, combining with Kyrie Irving out there, as well as the Washington Wizards. I think they did a pretty good job in their draft as well. What's funny is Singleton, who went at 18, could easily have a better career than Jan Vaseli. So, and he went 6th. I think that could be really interesting. They had a great draft as well. And then going to the last team would be the Lakers. I think getting Darius Morris in the 2nd round, a guy who easily could be their starting point guard either sometime this season or definitely next season. He's got that kind of skill and potential. He could really be a starting point guard for the Lakers. But losers, I don't think there's a ton of losers. I think most teams actually improved themselves. I think Houston made some awkward decisions, drafting another couple of power forwards that are kind of like scoring forwards, kind of limited players. That's really what their entire roster is made up of. The Pistons ended up getting Brandon Knight, Kyle Singler, and Vernon Macklin. I thought those were, for that team, I didn't really love those picks just because it's adding another combo guard to the mix, and they don't necessarily need another combo guard on that team. They have plenty of them. They needed to get maybe a little bit more size and some defense in there, but I think the players they wanted were already off the board. I think the Pistons, as if you look at the teams that drafted high, I would say that they're the ones that probably were the most disappointing.
Talking with Christopher Abbas from NBADraftInsider.com. And Christopher, a lot of us struggled with this draft. A lot of the average fan struggled with this draft just because of all the Europeans. And a lot of, you know, there's not a lot of college stars in there. What did you think of just watching this draft? Where was the entertainment value for you?
The entertainment value came from a few different things. Every time Stern walked on the stage, the crowd erupted from pick 1 to pick 30. I think they were as loud at pick 1 as they were at pick 30, booing David Stern for two reasons, because there was a lot of Cleveland fans and they blamed him for the LeBron setup, and also because of the CBA issues that are going on. So David Stern, I think, was booed as loud as possible last night from picks 1 through 30 as I've ever heard.
Got to get
and,
it to him, though.
Another
he
couple
owns
of,
it, though, Christopher.
Big names, like Kenneth Reed from New Jersey, got some great cheers out there. From a fan perspective, if you were in the arena, it was a great time. I think everyone there was loud and enjoyed what they were doing. I think from a casual fan sitting on the couch and watching it, unless your team had an investment in it, like the Wizards, the Cavaliers, those teams with multiple picks, it was probably pretty tough to watch because you're not watching the next superstar walk across the stage. It's going to be a multi-all-star that's going to help your team win. You're drafting a role player, and like I've been telling everybody, this draft has to set up 2012. You had to have gotten a role player so that way in 2012, when the superstars potentially are all coming out, you can then reach out and get that superstar, and you have your established role players already on the team.
Christopher, one thing I liked about David Stern, though, is unlike Roger Goodell, who's like, okay, guys, settle down, David Stern just owns it, smiles at the guys. You know, he's just very lawyer-like, and he just owns it. I like that about him.
Yeah, and he actually thanked the crowd on the last pick. He said, thank you for the energy and everything that they were given. I think he soaks it in. I think he really actually enjoys being booed. He doesn't take it too personal. He's probably got a good sense of humor, which is why he goes through that. Before the draft even started, they're doing the green room picture, so I'm up there trying to snap a picture of him. He nearly nailed me in the head with the basketball, actually, when he was chucking it to the NBA representative, and we all got a good laugh out of that, so... I think he's one of those guys that takes it in stride and doesn't take himself too serious, which allows him to laugh at that stuff.
Christopher Habis from NBADraftInsider.com. Last question I got for you is we're looking forward to a year that seems like we might not have basketball, but it seems like 2012 draft is going to be loaded. I know it's never too early to look ahead. A year away, the NBA draft for them would be. It seems like with Jared Solinger, Harrison Barnes, you're looking at a pretty talented class coming out next year.
Yeah, and if you incorporate the freshmen in, so this is what I would have to say to everybody that has a chance to hear this, is if there's no NBA, don't get glum. Don't act like the weather out here in New Jersey, been overcast and muggy and terrible, is go into the college basketball season and be a scout. Be your own personal scout. Watch the games. Enjoy these players. If your team is a lottery team this year, season or no season, they're a lottery team next year more than likely. So watch the draft. Watch the college season. Get yourself ready. You'll know who your team is going to select, and you'll have more of an investment, more knowledge going into it, because most people don't really start paying attention to who their teams could take until about 2 to 3 weeks before the draft, when there's no basketball on and all of it is just wall-to-wall coverage of the NBA draft. So if there's no NBA hoops on, that doesn't mean there's not basketball, and then it just means that the pros aren't playing. College basketball is still going to tip off.
Just puts college basketball in a huge spotlight, and of course, Champaign loves its college basketball. Christopher Habis from NBADraftInsider.com. Check out his stuff. Christopher, thanks for joining us today.
Absolutely. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, Chris.
Christopher's good to join us. I know he's done about dozens of interviews today, so thanks for Christopher for joining us. He does have great stuff on his. We're going to talk more about the line. I got a couple spots that I think Demetri Makemi deserved to go, and I want to hear from you guys. Did Demetri Makemi deserve to be drafted? 359-2255. That's 217-359-2255. It's the Tay and Jay Show, 93.5, 95.3.
Connect FM.